The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Olivia Kui. You can subscribe to the Straits Times channel so you never miss a single episode. According to our Trade and Industry Minister, Chan Chun Sing, Singapore and Malaysia are in close contact regarding our neighbour's latest movement control order and its current state of emergency, and both countries will continue to work closely to keep supply chains going. Mr. Chan said that over the last few days, Singapore supplies and trade flows with Malaysia have continued as per normal. The fresh two-week movement control order kicked in for the federal territories of Kuala Lumpur, Labuan and Putrajaya, as well as five states: Malacca, Johor, Penang, Selangor and Sabah. One of the capital's main thoroughfares, Jalan Ambang, leading to the Petronas Twin Towers, seeing less traffic as people are encouraged to stay home. Most shops are closed, but supermarkets, healthcare services and banks are allowed to operate. Eateries and hawker stalls can remain open as well, but only for takeaways and deliveries. Shannon Teo is back with the latest. He's the Straits Times' Malaysia Bureau Chief, joining me from Kuala Lumpur. So Shannon, first day of the MCO in several states and federal territories like KL and Putrajaya. So how is the public reacting to being locked down once again? And more importantly, are people confident in the government's ability to handle the current crisis?
I think the reaction is mixed. There are people who are annoyed, obviously, at being locked down. There are some who have already resigned themselves to the fact that, well, we do need to go into another MCO. There's no way around it, looking at how the numbers were climbing again. There is some anger, there is some frustration at the government, and we're talking pretty much about the political government. If you look at when this, some people are calling it the third wave or fourth wave, depending on how you count it, but this current wave started after the Sabah state polls, and that was a political issue. They might not necessarily be blaming the Perikatan Nasional government led by Prime Minister Muhyiddin right now, but they are definitely blaming politicians and politics for this current wave. There is still a lot of faith in the healthcare system, in our frontliners, in the authorities, the civil service authorities themselves. People do believe that at the end of this MCO, we will bring the numbers down, we will recover from it. But there is quite a fair bit of frustration at the political leadership.
Well, speaking of the healthcare system in Malaysia, we know the country is seeing more than 2,000 new COVID-19 cases every day for the last week or so. Government facilities on the brink of collapse, and that is something that you talked about yesterday. But Shannon, could you give us more details on the severity of the COVID-19 situation in Malaysia and the pressure it is placing on the healthcare system?
We've come to a situation where, if you just compare from last year to this year, just at the end of last year to this year, we've gone from something like 10,000 active cases climbing up to 20,000. And it took the authorities up to, when it hit 25,000 or so active cases, to actually think about doing a new MCO. Now, as of yesterday, there are more active cases than there are beds reserved for COVID-19 patients. And that means there are people who have tested positive but being turned away from hospitals. They're being told you have to quarantine yourself at home. And now we know that's never as effective as being warded, because you are still at risk of transmission to your family members, to your neighbors, things like that. More importantly is that we are running out of ICU slots. In Kuala Lumpur, two main hospitals, they're 100% full. We've just learned that a third hospital has had to take more space in the ICU from those reserved for non-COVID and put it into COVID. So what's happening is that there are kind of live or die decisions being made. Who gets the bed? Who gets the ICU? And it's also affecting our ability to treat other illnesses. You know, there is other stuff that's going on, heart diseases, dengue is always a big issue. They need ICU spaces as well. So we're taking these ICU spaces and we're giving it to the COVID patients. So it's not just people dying of COVID, it's that the healthcare system is also at breaking point. It is struggling to even care for people who don't have COVID.
Shannon, so under the MCO, a key restriction is the banning of travel between states and districts. How effective are these restrictions at the state borders in reducing COVID-19 infections, if things are as dire as you just told me?
Well, in December, I think early December, on December 7th specifically, interstate borders were open and a lot of people started going on holidays and taking vacations. I have to admit, I was one of them. And what we saw was that at certain tourist spots like Penang, Langkawi, there were spikes in cases. Langkawi pretty much had no cases for a very long time. It would have one or two cases, but it was pretty much a green zone. And all of a sudden, it started having a handful of cases. So it is probably true that all this travel is helping to spread the infection. Judging by that, just deducing from that, if we close down the interstate borders, we reduce the amount of travel, the rate of transmission is going to come down. Now, is that the only thing that stops COVID from spreading here? Of course not. I mean, as we know, a lot of workplaces are still open under this MCO. A lot of factories will still be open. A lot of essential services are still open. Reporters are still working. So it's not a total lockdown. It's not a total shutdown during this MCO period. And that's why people are feeling that 2 weeks won't be enough. It will have to stretch on to continue to reduce the number of active cases. We might even see it crossing over Chinese New Year.
Right. Well, thanks again for coming on the show with the update, Shannon. I've been speaking with our Malaysia Bureau Chief, Shannon Teo, who's been closely following these developments in Malaysia.